when the lights come crashing down on the darkness. If you hold my hand, I'll pull you through this fight. When your eyes get tired, listen to my heart. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Episode 84 of Drunk on Comics. It's all fun and games until someone calls the cops. Then it's a new game, hide and go seek.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah. Or it's a different new game, which my friends can pay bail.
I would just call it tag and tase, but
God, I got there. We have a family friend. Oh, by the way, welcome to Drunk on Comics, everybody. We'll get back around.
We'll get to the comics soon, but we're going to talk about probably a drunken story. I think.
No, I have a friend of the family who is a police officer, and I won't share any of the stories because I don't know. But my favorite thing about it is that his dog, he named him Taser, just because he loves his Taser. Aww. Both of them. But all right, yeah. So this is our weekly podcast where we're going to talk about comics, and we aren't going to talk. Well, we might actually talk about conventions this week, depending on if we get to that one news story.
Yeah, we might actually use that part of saying we talk about it all the time.
Well, we sometimes we talk about collecting. Sometimes we talk about toys.
Sometimes we talk about Derek's age.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about Tony's birthday for 5 minutes at the beginning of last episode.
I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
You're both old.
Yeah, Tony was just sharing a lot of information that probably shouldn't have. You know? But my name's Derek.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
No, you're not.
Yeah, Kevin can't be here today, but this is Tony.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf. First thing with Off the Shelf is that we have the best sponsor in the world, and it's the best... Oh, crap, I lost track. Where are we at? Are we still North America, or do we have to go the Northern Hemisphere now?
I think Northern Hemisphere.
Okay, best comic shop in the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, yeah.
Fanfare Sports and Entertainment out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yes, Kalamazoo, Michigan is a real place. I've had some questions. People don't think Kalamazoo is really a city.
Really?
Yeah.
I would call it a shithole, but...
Hey, easy now.
I remember I was watching
it,
like...
It was a lot better before you started working there.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching, like, it was a B-movie. I was in high school, but I thought there might be boobs in it, so I watched the movie. And she goes, and the girl goes, oh, I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan. I was like, I know where that's at. That's weird. Why would you place someone's origin from Kalamazoo, Michigan, when Grand Rapids is so much cooler?
Was that it?
Nah, that was my
thing. He saw boobs as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys can go check out Fanfare Sports and Entertainment's website, especially if you like original art. They have got tons of it, and they've got it at really good prices. It is fanfare-se.com. Go check them out. And, yeah, I mean, like, if you're anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, you should plan a trip and go check out their store, because it does kick ass. Who wants to kick it off and spoil some comics?
Don't tase me, bro.
You know what? I'll start off. I got Cable and X-Force number 18, part of the story arc entitled Vendetta, Part 1.
This is the crossover.
Yeah, this is a crossover with the Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah, and so... like, I haven't got to read this one yet, and so I'm curious. Like, I'm very curious.
Earmuffs, then. You don't want it to be spoiled for
you. Have you been picking up Cable and X-Force?
No, but I almost bought this one.
Because of the Uncanny X-Force.
Because it was the tie-in. And I know, and is it a 4-issue, or is it a 2-issue?
The Vendetta story arc?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be more than two, with the way this one gets end. Yeah, with the way this one ends, I don't see them finishing it up in the next one.
You know, now I'm wondering. I want to say that it was like one in this book, one in the next book, two standalones, and then one in one.
Probably. I think it's going to be a lot like when they did the Messiah War, where they were in the Uncanny X-Force, and then some of them were in Cable's, and then, like you just said, the crossover. It's like a mini crossover, which is kind of nice because you don't have to buy a shit ton of more books.
From what I understand, though, you don't have to buy.
No, buy them. Any of the others. Marvel is struggling. Since they've been owned by Disney, Marvel is just gone down.
Yeah, they're
I'm just kidding. They're doing
they're
fine.
Losing all kinds of
okay.
benefits.
So this book...
it's going to be 4 issues, by the way.
Okay, it's going to be 4 issues.
Writing weekly, though. It's going to be Cable, then it's going to be Uncanny, then Cable and Uncanny. So you'll get it all in a month.
Nice. Well, then we'll talk about it.
All right.
Let me talk about it.
No.
Oh, wait, do you have a book to talk about?
Story written by Dennis Hopeless. Artist, Angel Unzueta. Zueta? Yeah, I think I said that right.
Oh, I don't know.
Angel's got a really nice name.
It looks
and like it color works. Artist by Rochelle Rosenberg. This book, as we said, is the crossover between X-Force with Cable and X-Force with Uncanny. And they do a nice little blurb telling what's been happening in those stories so far. But this picks up with Hope Summers, who, as you know, may know, was taken into the future and raised by Cable. All the while, Bishop was trying to kill her because he thought that she was going to bring out this terrible mutant apocalypse. And so
and she didn't, by the way.
And she didn't, no.
Yeah.
But and it was, you know, they mentioned the fact that Bishop did more horrible things trying to kill Hope than, you know, Hope's ever done. But so she wakes up for, you know, in the middle of her nightmare for some late night snack. And there's some real good, you know, humor writing there. I liked it. And but she goes
cracking me up today. I don't know why.
What's that?
You're cracking me up today. There's some really good humor right in there. I liked it.
Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
As you can see, I just have to talk about it and I get laughs.
LOL.
All right. Interesting thing. So Cable's now got precognition and he keeps seeing events happening in the future so that his team can do something about it. And they've also hooked up his brain to a computer so that they can record his precognition dreams, if you will, and have better information about what's going to happen. Kind of a smart way to, you know, get intel. So as Hope woke up at night, Boom Boom sees pictures of Strife on the TV screen watching.
Wait, who's Boom Boom?
Oh, she's another member of X-Force. You should read it.
She's okay. Kind of cool, yeah. Actually. Well, she makes stuff blow up, but she's hot.
Yeah, and she's kind of ditzy, but she's fun. She's okay. Fun enough. But then, we see Bishop because we know that Bishop's back, and then Hope sees Bishop, and she's pissed. So she grabs a whole bunch of guns, and she's gonna go kill Bishop. And she tases Boom Boom in the throat. 'Cause tasers are cool.
Did she say, "Don't tase me, bitch"?
No. So then we get to Bishop, and he's when he first came back from the past, Psylocke tried to read his mind, and when her and Storm were in Bishop's mindscape. He was obsessed with the memories of him trying to kill Hope, and it was causing him a lot of, you know, mental strain. And so Storm lightning bolted those memories away.
Yeah, that was the shittiest
thing ever. And I was pissed because I thought, you know, what, you're just going to bring back Bishop and, oh, it never happened. Bishop doesn't know what happened to him. Well, Bishop's pretty pissed off about that. He's like, you had no right to take those memories away from me.
Yeah.
And I want them back.
Yeah, and unfortunately, who cares what Bishop remembers? Hope and everyone else remembers it, and Bishop's going to get his ass kicked and may not know why.
Yeah. Well, he's got the sense that he did the awful things, and they've told him what it is. So I think he's kind of recovered some of the memories of what's happening. But yeah, so he's pissed. So he leaves the team, so it separates him. Well, Boom Boom has to wake up Cable and tell him what happened. And he goes, and Cable's like, no, my daughter's not going to go kill Bishop. Well, that's good, but what are we going to do with Bishop? Because I just said Hope's not going to kill her. I'm going to kill him. So Cable takes off to go try to kill them. We get a nice little fight between Hope and Bishop, and ultimately they are abducted by...
Aliens?
Strife, because that was part of the precog mission. And so as soon as Strife takes those two, Bishop and Hope, away... The Uncanny X-Force show up, and they ask Cable, what did you do with Bishop? And he's like, I didn't do anything with Bishop. And Psylocke's all pissed off, and they're going to now fight Cable. And I'm like, yay, just like all team-ups start with, you know, a miscommunication about who the real villain is. And Cable's probably going to kick all their asses here in a second. So,
yeah, I have to say, I'm so glad they're getting back to Bishop versus Cable. Like, the whole Cable... books and everything, and just following that, it was amazing. I hated
Bishop I hated Bishop so much too.
But I loved him as a character because I hated him so much with his whole need to kill Hope. That's all I got to do is kill Hope. And he had a passion, a reason for his actual hatred towards one.
Yeah, because he thought that she's the one that causes his future timeline.
And then fuck Storm for just getting rid of that.
Yeah. So I think that's going to come back to it. But what I liked about it too is I really liked the Messiah War crossover event where they were where Strife and Bishop teamed up in the future to try to take him out. I thought that was a real nice story arc, and now we kind of get part two of that, so we kind of get a sequel. So I like the book, and so hopefully I gave you enough information that if you're interested, go pick it up. And if it's only a 4-part story arc, you're not missing out on too much. So.
Well, maybe you are missing out on a lot.
I meant you're not missing out on too much money if you want to invest in a new series real quick.
Well, you know the one thing I always like about, though, that when Marvel does this, because they did it, it was a little over a year ago, when they did the Spider-Man, Punisher, Daredevil crossover. Okay. And it was one story in each book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it because it's like, all right, you know, if you follow a character, which at that time the only book of those three that I was picking up, I remember, was Daredevil. Oh. But I ended up picking up Punisher because of it.
Well, and if it's got the normal teams that have been writing those books, especially the writers and the artists together, then you get a sense of, you know, their writing style as well as what the art's going to look like. So you'll know, this is a book that I want to keep going with.
What do you think of the art on that one, by the way? Because I'm not familiar with his work.
Her work?
Her work?
Angel.
No, not necessarily.
Well, that's true. Sorry if we get your gender wrong.
Sir or ma'am.
And or ma'am. Well, we're going to Google this when we're done. I liked it quite a bit, actually. I thought particularly the colors with light and shadow. That's always one of my biggest, effects.
Yeah.
But definitely, I don't know. The colors really pop. The art is solid. I mean, it tells a good story. It's not quite real, like exactly what a person looks like, but it's also not cartoony esque and stuff.
And that was the whole thing. I'm like, oh, this is kind of real, but it's not. But it is.
I think it works real well. I mean,
guys, it's a comic. It's not really real.
Shut up,
it's
Tony.
It's real, Tony, because it's in front of us.
Yeah,
we're touching it.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of I'm not touching you, I'm going to skip you and do the next review. People can't see your frown on their little earbuds at home, but that was well worth it. All right, I wanted to chat about Black Widow number one, written by Nathan Edmondson, and all of the art by Phil Noto.
I've heard a lot about this book lately.
That's because you were talking to our good buddy Jim, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Jim is still alive, people.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. You know, we let him out of the cage every once in a while. And this was one of the weeks. But Black Widow number one.
Jim, go get me a beer. Okay, Tony. I'm right on top of it.
See, that was, he never did that shit. It was always, you got it, boss.
That's right.
That was his line. But yeah, so the Black Widow number one basically follows Natasha Romanoff around as she's doing her jobs. And if you don't know much about the Black Widow, other than the fact that she's an assassin, she feels bad about all the bad things that she did when she was younger. And so she's taking these jobs, and yes, she's getting paid for them, but it's more of her penance to make up. Like, she will only kill or do jobs or whatever. She'll only do bad things against really bad people, and like they have to be the worst that are out there.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and it's quite an interesting little story. You know, one of the most fun parts is when she goes in to fight off like this whole army surrounding this one bad guy, and you find out that she's actually not there for him. She's there for the sniper that's trying to kill him. And my only one bitch about the writing in here. Now, it's fairly sparse in writing. This is one of those where I think the art tells as much or more of the story than the actual dialogue and words do. But we're going to get back to the art, but there's one thing in here that I'm like, I don't know if you do that, where she's like, she goes in, the guy thinks that he's gonna have to kill her because she's coming in. She's like, no, I'm here to save your life. She's like, here. She gives him a Kevlar vest, bulletproof vest. Mm-hmm. So he put this on. What? I'm here for the sniper. So she makes him put on the vest and then stands him in front of a window. Well, if I'm a sniper, wouldn't I be going for the headshot?
Yeah, every video game has taught you headshots are what kill.
Well, they give you more points.
Yeah. They do give you more points. I'm going to say in a superhero universe, I'm guessing that the sniper is so good that he's going to be able to hit you in the head. But the head is a smaller target than the torso.
It's a bigger target than the heart.
Yeah, but with a sniper bullet, those bullets are big enough that pretty much if you get hit...
You're assuming 50 cal.
I'm assuming a big sniper rifle, yeah. So I'm not by any means a gun expert, so I can't say what a sniper's actually target is.
Mostly
so.
Because when you go out shooting guns, you're going, pew, 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 pew.
I bring a sword to a knife, or to a gunfight, so...
Yeah, but... With that one exception, it was a very interesting trick, though, to see her go in, not to kill this guy, but to actually kill the sniper that was...
A little misdirection there.
Yeah.
Or she says, fuck it, if he gets killed. Yeah. Wasn't me that killed you.
Yeah. Oops, I took care of two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Oh, darn it. He did go
Should have given you that Kevlar helmet.
Yeah, he did go for your head. Shoot. But, oh well. But no,
it could be like from the end of Dumb and Dumber, where she met me down in the lobby, strapped this bulletproof vest on me, and gave me a gun. But Harry, what if he would have shot you in the head? That's a risk we are willing to take.
The art in this book by Phil Noto is just fucking gorgeous. And if you guys aren't familiar with Phil Noto, I mean, this dude has got such a distinct style, and you know, I mean, every book he does. Is just beautiful, and a lot of times it's the small details. There were just like a couple panels in particular that I absolutely loved. I mean, I think it was like on the third page, near the bottom, there's a close up of her mouth, and it's just some of the scratchy little lines on her lips that add that extra detail that just made me go, oh, like I mean, but one of the
cool needs chapstick.
she probably could. Could use a little bit. She's got a good dentist, though. I can tell you that because her teeth are fantastic. But this panel here, it's probably 7-8 pages back. The top, you see her like with her sunglasses on, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with the actual surface of her sunglasses? I'm like, there's something in there. There's something in there. When you look really close, and then you look at the next panel, it's actually the reflection of the family that she's looking at.
Yeah, that's cool.
In her glasses, good detail. I'm like, holy shit, is that smart? So, pick up the book, if only just to flip through it, and don't read the words. The words are great, but the art is...
steals the show.
God, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's fun. And I'm not a big Black Widow fan, and I still found myself really loving this
Tony book. Hates Black Widows. In fact, he hates all spiders.
Yeah.
He's pretty afraid of them.
Yeah.
Unless you're a man, and I like the spiders.
Oh, the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What about Black Widow, the character?
I'm still afraid of her. If we're in a dark alley, I would be afraid of her strapping on a vest on me.
I'm pretty afraid of her, too.
Well, depends. Is the dark alley there to set the mood because she wants to go smoochy-smoochy on you?
I'd still be afraid of that because I'm pretty sure the only reason she'd be interested in me is to kill me.
Well, that's why most people are interested in you, Matt.
That's true.
It's kind of like, you know...
I have that effect on people.
Yeah. You, well, Tony, me, your dad, your wife. I mean, that's kind of all of our plan is eventually.
I know. I'm just waiting for you guys to act so that I can, put in my counter strategies.
Yeah.
You'll never see it coming.
Yeah, well, the great thing is that your son can't even talk, but he's already told us. He's like, no. Cut him.
Slice and dice.
Tony.
Well, war is a brewing. A revolutionary war with a bunch of alpha characters. I picked up a book.
How long did you think about that?
A little bit.
I looked down at the cover and I saw the word revolutionary war alpha.
And just reversed it all. war that's revolutionary. Alpha.
Oh, you're so good.
Yes. I picked this book up having no clue what the hell it was. I don't even remember hearing about it coming up in like previews and news. But I was like, oh, Captain Britain. Okay, I know him. I might know this skull-looking guy. Yeah, the guy in the background. And it's a good cover of all these characters, but I'm like, who the fuck are they? Well, this is kind of interesting.
It's Mark Brooks doing the cover. And, yeah, he's awesome on cover.
I come to find out a little bit more about this from one of the last pages when they're explaining. The UK Marvel had a bunch of superheroes back in the 90s, and some of them have transitioned over into normal Marvel titles or have jumped on, jumped off, and been lost in the crowd. And what they've talked about is they had some good characters that they really wanted to bring back to the Marvel fold, get them here now. So Andy Lannan and Alan Coswell is writing this, with art by Rich Elson and color art by Antonio Fabella. I don't know if I...
Fabella?
Yeah. Art was good. I can just say that off the top. And the writing was great, too. Here's the thing. I am lost, though. This seems to be picking up from stories of what they had straight up from the 90s. There must have been something going on then with these Mystech creatures.
They did a pretty good job, though, of giving you enough information.
Yeah, recapping who these people are.
Yeah, when they said Pete Wisdom, I was like, oh, I've heard that name too. These names are all familiar, but like I said, besides Captain Britain, I don't really know what their powers are or who they're connected with, this and that. I like that they're making fun of Captain Britain for for being like the Omniverse type person, but as we've seen in Age of Ultron, that's the last time we've seen of Captain Britain, and that shit was kind of getting effed up there.
Yeah.
But it was great because I see what they're trying to do. Whenever comic book people try to force characters down your throat and be like, these are, you know, going to be invading you now and this and that, this seemed a little more natural. And for people that have read the old books of this, you're going to be dying to read where it's going. For anyone new, it seems like a fun ride. From what I'm getting with this, is that each of the chapters is going to focus on a character and then conclude. So it'll have the overall story of what's going on, where these people have been for a while, because it seems like some of them are coming back from an interdimensional portal that is what kind of broke them apart to begin with. Like I said, the backstory, I'm a little confused, but that's where it seems like it's going. But each one of these, you know, seems to, like I said, focus on some individuals, and we'll give you a little bit more. So I don't know necessarily if I'm going to pick up every single issue, but I'm definitely going to be picking up some issues of characters that I'm like, that seems like a cool person, like this Dark Angel chick.
Well, yeah, she's hot.
And and I liked reading that they're saying how she's going to be in the pages of Iron Man. So I'm like, that's cool. I can get to know a little bit more background of her through this Revolutionary War. And like I said, I'm not sure about all the war and what's going on, but it seems like, you know, some of the guys that have been stuck in this other dimension are a little bit pissed for being stuck there, and they're kicking Captain Britain's ass, who somehow lost his powers.
Well, he loses his powers whenever he loses his confidence.
He's like, how many characters are like that? I think Gladiator is another one.
Yeah, Gladiator does lose.
There's a couple other ones where it's
but the difference is that Gladiator isn't British, and the British are all, I'm so pompous and British and meh, 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 meh. Except for Captain Britain, who turns out to be like the worst Brit because he loses his confidence like every day. So I gotta go. I gotta talk to a girl though, mate. Oh no, I lost my confidence.
I don't know if you guys know or not. I don't. Whether or not Andy Lannan or Alan Coswell, if they are they British? Does anyone know?
Ooh, yes. Let me go with but yes.
No,
I'm guessing yes because they would. You know, it seems like people who would be very familiar with this genre and these characters.
Well,
and stuff,
not necessarily because a lot of the creators of the Marvel UK stuff back in the day were Americans or working from other areas. But no, I'm just curious because there are certain things that the characters in here were saying that word, the way that the words are used, or it's a slightly different word than what we as Americans yeah. would use, that was definitely British, but I don't know, because like it was weird. Like I had to keep reminding myself in my head, these are British characters. These are British, because
yeah, they're both British.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Google.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's just trying to hear the voices of the characters yeah. coming through. Best voice out of any character, though, just as far as like you got a really good idea of who he was, even if you don't know, was Pete Wisdom.
Yeah,
he was great in this yeah. book.
He's like, snarky and.
No, I love. Here's the thing that I was kind of feeling like, oh God, Marvel, you're forcing this down. Saying how M13 and them being part of,
oh, you know, MI13.
Well, and them being part of British stuff. Nope, we're now part of S.H.I.E.L.D. America's taking over, and Pete kind of was like, "Fuck this, we're not part of no S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, crap." But trying to get them all under the same umbrella, have them all be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. blah blah blah. I'm like, let them do their own thing. Let them be Excalibur again. Let them.
Yeah, well, they said they don't have the resources because, you know, the American government's the one that spends billions of dollars on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the British are like, what did we go to Royal Navy?
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of the things I loved about the art is it really was kind of like that flashback to the 90s where any person who had metal on their body had all those little tiny stripes for the metal. It's like, because skin-tight metal apparently would always have lines in it.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, cool. You brought that back, the that sense of the 90s art, really, is all I could really say.
So. Yeah, it was an interesting book, and I plan on picking up the next one. I guess my only concern with books like this is when they are, like, just about the individual characters, is that sometimes, like, if you lose interest on one character, it's like, no. I don't want to.
Yeah, but hopefully the overall story and what's going on and where they've been,
man,
draw you in.
I say that guy's even got a pouch on his thigh. He's got thigh pouches. I love thigh pouches.
You're so fucking weird.
I was watching the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon show. It's on Netflix, season one, season two, and I highly recommend it. This is my segue into what. Cartoons is Matt watching, but they do an episode with Deadpool, and you know, I'm going, this is, it's not geared towards real young kids, but it's still a kid's cartoon show, so how are they gonna, you know, put Deadpool in, who's like really good at killing people and cutting things up?
He'll throw mac and cheese at them.
Well, the way that they fought was like in their imagination, like they had a battle of who's weirder, and they got Deadpool's like manic down really well. But anyways, I digress, because the funniest thing was Deadpool was making fun of Spider-Man's costume. He's like, okay, I see you copied me with a color scheme. Very nice. You know what you need? Some pouches. And I lost it. I laughed right out loud. So it was fun, because pouches are cool.
Yeah, that pouches are cool. You know what's also cool? News.
Oh, news.
You know what else is cool?
What?
Notes.
This just in, pouches are in this year, for 2014.
And this just in, there you can put things in pouches.
Mm-hmm. This just in, I just put something in a pouch.
This just in, I put a taser in a pouch.
This just in, I'm taking my taser out. Shut the fuck up. Let's get to the news.
Well noted.
All right, Tony, kick us off with something good.
No, fuck. Well, I didn't expect that.
All right, fine then.
No, I got this. Because it's something that I'd mentioned before, and I was kind of wrong from the news, from what we were talking about. The Marvel one-shot for Hail to the King is not going to be about Loki.
Well, and clarify, when you say one-shot, normally people are thinking comics.
Okay, the DVD extra for Thor 2... there was images of Loki, and people were thinking it might be something to do with him taking over, being king. But it's not, and I think this is even greater. It's following Ben Kingsley's character, the Mandarin, from Iron Man, and what happens to him after the movie. From what I've been told, it's going to be shot as kind of like almost like a documentary style, and that's about it. People don't know if it's going to be kind of a comedy fun thing of him just being like, yeah, mate, like, having, you know, nothing's happened here. or whatever. Or
do your Fat Albert again now.
Hey, hey, hey. Or if it's going to be where he actually becomes a Mandarin, he goes to jail. All these people are thinking he was real behind it because no one knows the difference of him being the actor or him being the real Mandarin. He's in jail now. People are like, holy shit, you took on Iron Man. You're the king, man. And him being rising up to be a true leader of all these prisoners, and maybe there's an outbreak. I don't know. Either one of those, I'm totally fine with, because I've, for everyone that's bitching about him not being the real Mandarin, this and that, I still pretend in my heart that there's a real Mandarin out there in the Marvel Universe, and they just haven't touched on him yet.
Maybe that's what they'll do, is they'll
have the real Mandarin.
Real Mandarin come and kill him and say you're an imposter or something.
That would be even better. But still, either or. I talked a lot more than I thought I would about that. But
yeah.
All right. I just liked his character.
And apparently you like trying to do an accent?
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah.
I think, honestly, the biggest news that came out this week was all the shit that came out from Image Expo 2014. And apparently Image is going to put out 14 new books every week from now until, you know, end of December in 2014. From the sounds of it, it's going to be a huge year for them. There's a ton of news, so and I don't mean to diminish any of it by breezing through, but strictly due to time on our part, I'm going to kind of run through a couple things. The best articles, by the way, if people are wanting more info that I found, Newsarama did a great article on there, and Comic Book Resources had kind of filled in some other blanks where Newsarama didn't, but the majority of the information that I'm pulling from is from that Newsarama article, just so I can give credit where credit is due on that. The couple different things in here. I think probably the biggest news that came out was that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips are getting... They signed a 5-year deal with Image. Now, what I have not found out is if it's an exclusive deal or not. And it kind of sounds like, when you're signing a 5-year deal, sounds like it probably is. The most interesting part is the quote that I've seen out there, and I don't remember, I think it was Brubaker that said it, that basically, Image has to publish whatever the hell they put out for the next 5 years.
Yeah, or they don't have to publish it, but they'll still get paid.
Yeah.
You just have to pay them. So.
Scott Snyder and Jock have a new series coming out called Witches, which I'm very excited about. The best quote on that was that Snyder said it's going to scare the shit out of readers.
Is it about zombies?
No, I think actually it's about like unicorns and minotaurs.
Is it about witches?
About what?
Yeah, what's a witch?
Yeah, I don't know. No. there's some more stuff. Let's see. There's something called Tech Jacket Digital, which is was 3 issues, and that's available now from Tech Jacket Digital version is available right now. That was from Robert Kirkman. There's a new series with him, I believe, coming out. There's some new stuff from Paul Azaceta called Outcast coming out. There's Joe Keating and Leila Del Duca have a new book coming out in April. Brandon Graham has a new book called Eight House coming out. Josh Williamson has a book called Nailbiter, which has art from Mike Henderson. That's a new book coming out. I mean, it is ridiculous the amount of stuff that is coming out of there. I think probably the three that I'd say I'm most interested in, besides Witches, is the one Matt Fraction and Christian Ward have their reinterpretation of the Odyssey. You know, Homer, the Odyssey, and it's.
Are they gonna have Marge and Bart and Lisa?
I don't think
wrong
so.
Homer, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, and not an over the fence. Did you say dope? Nice. But it's ODY-C Odyssey.
That's cool.
Yeah. That one is gonna be it's gonna be pretty cool. The Rick Remender Greg Tuccini book that's coming out called Low, LOW. I'm really interested in pretty much anything that Remender does. You know, I mean, we've been reading Black Science, and that's awesome. And, you know, even back from all of his Marvel stuff.
When you first said Low, I thought it was L-O-W-E, and it was the graphic novel autobiography of Rob Lowe and how he doesn't age.
No, it's about Rob Lowe's brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's that low?
Yeah, it's way down there. Oh, wait. But no, I think the one that's getting a ton of kind of the social media fun spin is Kelly Sue DeConnick's new series that's based on like women in prison movies and girl gang movies back from the 60s and 70s. And her new book is called Bitch Planet.
Is that about witches?
would they have to like cross out the cover or cover up the cover in comic book stores with a title like that?
I don't know. I guess it depends on their store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question.
Depends on how you lay stuff out. We'll ask the people down at Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan about that.
The title that I just don't know how to pronounce, but I'm more than curious. The
superannuated man.
Yeah, the superannuated.
Man.
Actually, the one that I think that Matt's going to be most interested in is The Wicked and the Divine, drawn by Jamie McKelvey and written by none other than Kieran Gillen.
Yay! I kind of like that guy. He's pretty good.
Yeah, you definitely have a man crush on him.
I do.
Yeah. Like, you have comic boners. Just laugh and go, I don't know what to say to you sometimes. Yeah, there's so much more. Fred Van Lent, Tom Fowler, and Jordy Belair are doing a book called How Tunes, which I saw something on this, and I'm going to fuck it up, so I'm not going to say anything more than that.
All right.
But just so many good books.
Guys, I see something here, too. It's so cool. I just don't want to fuck it up, so I'm going to let it sit.
I, no,
you really go check out the list of all these books that Image is
reading. Oh, my God.
It's an impressive array, and I think that they're going to have an aggressive year. And good luck to them. I mean, I'm sure a lot of these will cover, and Derek's probably going to spend, you know, one more of his paychecks on comics each month, but we'll get back to you with more on them, so.
Yeah. The How Tunes thing, it's got Nick Dragotta involved in it, too. It's an educational kids comic in there. That's kind of what why I was curious about it.
Yeah, they are setting up for having a good year next year. So, can you just see that image right now?
No. No, I can't. I can't see that image at all.
Oh, switching gears. DC at least got to announce a new title. They are going to be having a, I don't know necessarily if it's going to just be a Sinestro series or it's going to be a Yellow Lanterns, but Sinestro's back, as everyone saw from the pages of Forever Evil number 4. So, the ADC getting to announce something while Image is like, fuck everyone else, we're having our expo and this is what we're doing. Marvel also announced, though, which is, it's really telling when publishers are able to do second, third, fourth printings, how well a book is sold with having that much demand still to do that. And two copies of Point Now's have already gone to the second printings, and they were just even last week and this week. Yeah. We have Savage Wolverine number 14 dot now, and Avengers AI number 8 dot now, which I'm getting so sick of the now bullshit. But
wait. Which Wolverine?
Savage Wolverine number 14.
Okay.
Dot now.
Dot now.
You gotta remember.
Dot now.
Yeah. So, for them already going to the second printing, it's kind of showing how well they're doing for people picking up books.
Actually, you know what it really shows is their piss poor planning and not printing enough to start
that
with.
That, too. It could be.
Yeah.
Or it could be that people are really liking it. I really like the Avengers AI storyline. I think Sam Humphries is telling a nice story there. I particularly like the thoughts it provokes about how we interface with our own technology. And if we are creating AI, how are we going to treat it in the future?
And are we, like, in the Matrix, man?
Maybe. That doesn't matter, though.
Well, speaking of Marvel and things that we don't understand, Peter Milligan and David LaFuente are coming out with a book about Dupe. It's all new Dupe.
I'm pretty sure I got some Dupe in my nose right now.
It's going to be a five-part miniseries, which... If you ever read basically the Dupe one shot in Wolverine and the X-Men, where he just went
that was enough. That was enough.
Killed and or fucked everything.
Yeah, I don't get this character. Dupe. I get that he's a deviant.
To him. It's gonna be a fun, loving.
If you pick it up, I'll probably glance through it. But Dupe is he's stupid. It's my opinion.
Yeah,
he's Dupey, and that means cool.
He's
Dupe talk.
Dupenies. Okay.
I bet you, though, that Dupe knows what the fox says.
Oh, probably does.
So Marvel's also, excuse me, Marvel has also announced what their next kind of big crossover event is going to be.
Kill that fucker.
And they're going to, apparently they're going to kill Uatu, the Watcher.
Yeah.
No. Which first off, my question is, how does he not see it coming? And secondly, I like the idea, though, that whoever killed him is also taking a lot of his cosmic artifacts and also the information that he has stored and recorded, which will allow some supervillain or person to actually open up a lot of the secrets that have been happening in the Marvel Universe, like the Illuminati and the incursions and things like that. So my bet is it's Dr. Doom. I'm going to place that bet now. Only because I think Doom is due for some more FaceTime. And
I'm calling it right now. He's going to be Marvel Death, and he's going to come back. The reason why he's going to come back is all the other Watchers are going to be like, this is the first time in history you haven't interfered. Here you go, extra life.
You could have interfered with your own death, but you chose not to.
Yeah, he's not the Watcher. He's the interferer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that fucker. Kill him.
No, well, you're just going to be pissed off at his replacement, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You cannot have...
The new Watcher is Frank Castle.
That wouldn't be good.
That was if you've never read the Earth X series, that was one of the coolest things is when they took Aaron Man, who's a robot.
Man-child?
No.
First Human Torch.
I think it was like the first Human Torch. But anyways, he basically was a robot that became the Watcher because the Watcher had gone blind.
He was the Mandroid?
Yeah. No.
I can't think of his name.
Machine Man. That's what it is. Machine Man. I knew there's man and machine in there somehow.
Android, maybe.
Yeah.
There's one of the things, this kind of goes back to what we were briefly talking about with Image Expo and the fact that Image took over the world. Image did pretty damn well this year for themselves as far as both dollar shares and unit shares comparatively. And Diamond released a bunch of their stats for the year of 2013. And so basically the number one comic book for the year was Walking Dead number 115. Now, part of it is because I think there were 15 covers.
Yes, and there were so many covers on that. There was so much pre-ordered. I don't necessarily believe at least those all sold, though.
Well, Justice League of America number one, weren't those all the states?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the second place book. Superman Unchained was the third place book. Tony Guardians of the Galaxy was number four, and Superior Spider-Man was number five.
I'm just surprised that, I mean, love Guardians, I'm not knocking them, but I'm surprised they beat off Superior.
They what?
They beat off Superior. Off the list.
Oh yeah, they got above him and beat him off there. Yeah. I think a lot of that...
Spider-Man's going to have to reach from behind if he's going to come back next year.
Yeah, he's going to have to shoot webbing all over the place. It's like he's throwing ropes and stuff.
What were some more stats that Diamond set out
for? The top 10 graphic novels. No shock here. Saga dominated
yeah.
With number one. Walking Dead was number two. Saga was number three. Walking Dead was number four, five, and six. And then you get to Hawkeye. And then Batman, Court of Owls, and then Batman, The Killing Joke. And then, oh yeah, The Walking Dead again.
Yeah.
That was kind of the interesting part. The biggest thing is when you look at publishers and you look at dollar share and unit share, Marvel was on the top of the list with a 33.5% dollar share and a 36.97% unit share.
Okay.
DC in dollar share was a little over 3% behind them at 30.33 and a little over 3% behind them in unit share at 33.35.
This is where I love, though, saying Image had a great year. So you just take those two numbers.
Yeah.
Third place, Image Comics with 8% dollar share, 8.49% unit share. So, yes, they dominate. I mean, they got third place. But there is a huge gap between the big two and everyone else.
And that's what I don't understand. Because when you go into comic shops, you see just as much Image stuff sitting out there as DC and Marvel. And that's where I'm having a hard time. How are they only at 8 to 8.5%, depending on how you look at it? And you look at the creators that they have going on, and you look at the quality of the books that they have going on, and then you look at, you know, the fact that they have the number one selling comic book of the year.
Yeah.
And they're still only 8%. It's like,
I think the biggest part with Marvel right now is doing them every other week.
Yeah.
Which has obviously increased their shares. And I think with DC was mainly Villains Month, where they were popping out a ton of comic books in that month. And
successful.
But also some of their other properties that are under the DC, you know, logo.
Vertigo, yeah.
That are counting just as DC books.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it seems like there should be a lot more for the other people as far as shares and percentages.
Yeah. Just a quick rundown in order was Marvel, DC, Image, IDW, Dark Horse, Dynamite, Boom, Valiant, Xenoscope, Avatar, and then it went on from there. One last thing that I found that was really cool is that if you add in all the crowdfunded books like Indiegogo and Kickstarter-type-backed programs, that all of those, if they were considered their own publisher, would comprise about 2% of the market,
yeah.
Which puts them right behind Dynamite and right above Boom Studios.
That's pretty impressive. And I think that says a lot about the comic book fans, that they want to support certain books and certain projects.
And certain creators, I think, is the bigger part.
And certain creators. So hopefully we get some real good stuff out of that in years to come.
Yeah. So, go to previewsworld.com if you want to find all the information on that there, if you're a nerd like me who loves that. Tony, do we have anything else that we needed to chat about? I mean, we had a couple minor things.
Yeah, they're minor. We can bring them up later.
Okay.
There'll be notes. They won't be newts or new news. There won't be new news. There'll be notes later.
There'll be nolds?
Yeah. Nolds.
Well, I do know that we need to get to the Indy Turnpike.
Okay.
All right. Indy Turnpike from 8% Image this week is going to be Manifest Destiny number 3. And this is written by Chris Dinges. Matthew Roberts did the pencils and inks. Owen Gienny did colors. And Matt Brousseau is the letterer on this. I think I talked about issue one here a while back, which it's Lewis and Clark going on their expedition, and they have taken with them a bunch of basically convicts as the muscle so that they could use them and basically all of the enlisted men, even that are coming with, they're all more or less on a suicide mission. Like, if they don't care if they die.
Okay.
And
that is their destiny.
It could be. Now, the people that, like the convicts, the reason that they're going is that if they can actually make it through this, their sentence gets, you know, revoked.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the whole reason that they bring. So you've got a very interesting group of people to start with. You know, you're going to have people that don't trust others, you know, and there's people that should be out there just for themselves. You got people doing bad things. Issue one kind of shows them going out, and then at the end, there is a half minotaur, half centaur, half something else thing that comes out at them. And it was a...
this doesn't sound really historical accurate.
It's very historically accurate. You just didn't see
that. Sacagawea is there.
Yeah. Well, not yet, but she shows up in this issue. But yeah, so first issue. No, it's got the body of a bison, it has the torso of a man, and it had the head of a bison.
No wonder they killed off all the bison. We were totally wrong what they looked like. They're these giant killer centaur people.
Well, I'm curious about what kind of, like
you know, that's a major bison right there.
A major bison?
Street Fighter reference?
Yeah. M. Bison.
What?
M. Bison. Yeah. I never knew that the M was for major until like way long after. I just always thought it was like...
Yeah, why'd you need to abbreviate major?
Yeah. Anyway. So, issue two, like, you know, because they kill this thing because it's coming out. So, issue two, they go in and take it on board and start dissecting it. And then these creatures, there's like some half horse, half human things, and the half bison, half human things. They chase them into this fort, and they have them trapped in there. One of the fun parts was that you find out that that the thing that they killed, it was a baby, and it was 8 feet tall.
They killed a baby? That's bad.
Well, that baby came at like running at him with like fucking bow and arrow and axes and shit. It's a bad baby. It's like not very well behaved at all. So now they're trapped in this new area. There's a disease which is killing the people that were in that village, and it basically turns them into zombies. But here's the interesting part: they aren't living dead; they're living.
So they're alive.
They're alive, but they're no longer made of flesh and bone. They are
ghosts.
No. They're plants.
Swamp thinged.
Yeah. They're basically a new type of flora.
They're swambies.
Swambies. So this book, though, I mean, is just fucking crazy. Like every book, there's something new. Every issue, there's something new. There's a new twist to it. Very well written.
Does it feel like Lewis and Clark are in any danger, though? Because something like that, you'd almost say, oh, well, I know these characters can't die because they have to live to tell the tale.
They don't seem that they're in any danger, but there's enough of the side characters that are in here
that you like,
and even the ones, I mean, yeah, it's been three issues, and you know, they just had some guy that got captured by the big half and half people. That they ate him, like, you know, they show these creatures sitting around the fire like, no, I got an arm, you want a leg?
Yeah, I got the white meat. I got the dark meat.
I'm imagining these creatures playing Oregon Trail. Yeah. Shoot the human.
grueling pace. Well, that sounds gruesome and interesting all at once. So.
And this is, I don't know if this is ongoing or if this is a short series, miniseries. I probably could have looked that up and told you, but
my question is: are they going to keep moving forward further west, or are they going to turn around and come home?
Fuck this new land.
I don't know, but yeah, Sacagawea though, she's badass. She appears in the spoiler alert. She appears in the last page of this one, and she's going to fuck up those bison people. So, and she's like 14 or whatever. But yeah,
that's why she's on her dollar gold coins. Or she was.
They aren't real gold. They're clad. Yeah, you're talking to the metal detecting nerd now. but yeah, no, you guys definitely should go check this book out. It's cool. It's different. You know, the artwork is very unique. It's not drawn in a pretty way intentionally.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, with all the gruesomeness, you'd really want to see that.
Well, there's a lot of very ugly people, intentionally drawn ugly, and
neat.
It's bothersome to read, but it adds so much more to the character. So, yeah.
Well played.
All right.
Well, we got booze in the book, and we got a new sponsor for this segment, High Five Co-op Brewery. They are a different branded type of brewery. They're trying to get off the ground right now, and they're looking for their membership drive. Where most breweries are owned by the owners, this is a co-op, something that's more known in agriculture and other type of systems where you pool in your money for the resources and you own part of the resources. So High Five Co-op Brewery is trying to be the second in the nation of these type of breweries where you own part of the brewery. You are a member for life. Right now, like I said, they're taking pledge drives, and once this thing gets off the ground and they have a place, it is going to be the destination for microbrewing.
In the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes. Well, we'll start branching out.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. Well, they're a little bit behind of fanfare, yeah. But...
Well, it will be.
Yes, yeah. It will be. So, with that being said, we have another one of your pick-your-own-type-of-beer pairings. We have Afterlife with Archie number 3, paired with your first go-to drink. Because whenever you think about that first go-to drink, it's smooth and familiar. Yeah, if you haven't had it in a while, it might surprise you by the choice of you just realizing, why the hell have I not picked this up recently? And just like Afterlife with Archie, it's got that familiar quality that you're going to love, but it packs a huge punch when you're like, holy shit, where'd that come from?
And it's so good, it can make you cry.
Dude, it was a... yes. Just like going back to my first drink, I cry when I'm at the bar. But this was amazing.
It's mostly because your mom's punching you when you're trying to suck on her boob.
What?
You said your first drink.
Oh.
it took me a second, too. But that's the type of humor that they had back before, you know...
Comedian?
Before fire was invented.
Yeah. Yeah, back before we had really good impressionists.
Yeah. Yeah, those painters were they're a while ago.
That was awesome. I will give you that one. That was great.
Like, we don't normally talk about, but just, man.
That, oh, my God.
It's Afterlife one of the best series
yeah.
out there. You need to pick it up.
It is fantastic.
And then pick your go-to drink and be like, holy shit, those drunk guys were right.
You know, here's what I think. I think with Afterlife with Archie and your go-to drink, you should almost step it up one notch above whatever your go-to drink is.
And have two?
Well, there's that too, yeah. But no, like, I mean, like, if you drink Crown, kick it up to the Crown Select Reserve or the Black Label or whatever, the Crown Black Label or whatever it may be. Or, if you drink Hams, try a Budweiser.
Like, if you drink Coors Light, get Coors the Banquet beer.
Oh, the original Coors?
Yeah.
Coors? Oh, that original Coors is great. I hate Coors Light. But, yeah, like, I think just because you want something that is familiar, but there's just enough of a difference in here that makes you go, oh, I've been missing out on a lot. Like, I think that's where I would do it, because I tend to be somebody who drinks the same shit a lot. You know that.
Yeah, you got your Hams. And
I love my Hams. Hams is delicious, man.
Big Flats.
Yeah, the Walgreens beer. Yeah. All right, what else do we have here? We got some last call?
Yeah, I got a lot that I still am kind of halfway through.
Ultimate's Last Stand Cataclysm, number 3. It's pretty good. Avengers World, number 1.
Okay.
And that's nice. Set up a whole bunch of new story arcs.
Okay.
3, number 4 from about the Spartans.
Wait, what
three,
was it? It
3,
was...
number 4. It's about the Helots escaping the Spartans.
The book's called 4 as the third issue?
No, it's called 3. It's the fourth issue.
Gotcha.
It's a great story. Pick it up.
Walking Dead, they're all out war, even though I bitched about issue 115 that was so great of, the best-selling, blah, blah, blah. For that being, the first book in All Out War, they did nothing in that. But this is actually starting to come around, and it's getting really good. Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, number 14, written by our good buddy Dirk Manning. I'm starting to get sucked into this series now, and it's kind of a fun thing.
Forever Evil, Arkham War. If it has the title Forever Evil, I'm just gonna say, pick it up. That's just all great. Hinterkind, number 4. And last one I kind of want to mention is, was it All New X-Factor? Yeah, All New X-Factor, number 1.
All New Marvel Now, All New X-Factor.
Yes. That was just... I've I used to pick up X Factor, and I haven't seen how Multiple Man's run ended. This was obviously a setup of the new team. I love the exchange between Wolverine and Gambit in the beginning, and it's got Gambit, so that's cool. But yeah,
I just love that they've got a corporate sponsor.
Yeah,
with a stupid logo.
Yeah, Daredevil: Dark Knights number 8, just fun as hell. Sex Criminals number 4, it's not for children, and Letter 44, number 3. All good books, all worth reading. So if you're questioning what else you should pick up, those are our suggestions.
Yeah, well, listeners, if you have suggestions, get a hold of us. You can contact us on Twitter and Facebook, and even on our website, drunkoncomics.com.
Yeah.
Or you could call us if you got our number.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 867-5309.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Jenny, that's our receptionist.
Yeah. Give her a shout. We have our Drunkie Awards.
Yes, later on this week, guys, come back to this Bat Station, Bat Central, I don't know.
Same Bat Station.
Yeah, whatever. Or iTunes and our website, wherever you download us, and listen to the Drunkie Awards, because they are going to be great.
Yeah, we've got some fun stuff, we've got some serious stuff, but all in all, don't fuck around and miss it. You'll be pissed. If you aren't the first one to know, your friends tell you about it, you're going to be like, fuck!
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I'm the last one to know. That sucks.
Yeah. So be the first.
And not the last.
Yeah. And otherwise, you know, you might get tased.
Don't tase me, bro. so enthusiastic.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, I'm Derek.
I'm Matt.
I'm Tony.
Keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then. See ya.